News brief, the Secret Service says it and others are to blame for the failures that allowed a man to wound former President Donald Trump in Pennsylvania. CBS's Nicole Skanga says there's more about the incident. Acting Director Ronald Rowe wants to know.
He's not aware of any formal request that went through from Trump's detail for additional resources, but he's looking into whether or not there were unofficial asks for more assets on the ground that were not granted on that day.
Some voters aren't waiting until November to cast their ballots, says CBS's Natalie Brand.
Early voting kicked off here in Virginia today at polling sites, while in South Dakota and Minnesota, you can vote early in person with absentee ballots.
President Biden says he will continue his efforts to get Israel and Hezbollah to stop attacking each other.
The Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, our whole team is working in the intelligence community to try to get that done. We're going to keep at it till we get it done.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The state Supreme Court will decide whether Robert F. Kennedy's name should be removed from the ballot in Wisconsin. Kennedy is now a member of Donald Trump's transition team. He's trying to make it easier for his supporters to vote for Trump. He's been fighting that battle in court here in Wisconsin, where previous judges have told him under state law the only way off the ballot is to die. The case was in the Second District Court of Appeals, but the Wisconsin Elections Commission asked the state's high court to rule. Now they've accepted the case. And while the National Teamsters Union declined to endorse a presidential candidate, Wisconsin's did anyway. The National Union represents more than 1.3 million members and has endorsed a Democratic candidate in every presidential election since 2000. The Wisconsin chapter of the Teamsters unanimously voted to endorse Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz. They joined Teamsters unions in Michigan, Nevada, and Pennsylvania, who have done the same. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A new AARP Wisconsin presidential poll again shows the importance of voters age 50 and older. Jeff List, a pollster and partner at Impact Research, says when it comes to issues, immigration matters to Republicans, and abortion and threat to democracy matter to Democrats. Personal economics matter to persuadable voters.
77% of voters over 50 say that Social Security is either extremely or very important to them.
List said Medicare is also an issue, but not as big as other issues. The annual Aspirus Lights of Love fundraiser and tree lighting ceremony will happen in Wisconsin Rapids on November 20th. The Lights of Love trees are displayed throughout the holiday season between Aspirus Riverview Hospital and the Riverview Expressway. You can find out more and purchase Lights of Love to celebrate your loved ones at aspirus.org. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Jordan Love might be ready to play this week. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. It seems all anyone can focus on is the quarterback situation in Green Bay. Jordan Love was hurt in the season opener, but he might be available to play this Sunday. Love said he doesn't know if he'll play Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of boxes. Obviously, I think getting back to practice and doing that and just, you know, feeling what it feels like to take those drops, being the live fire, things like that. But, you know, like I said, we're taking day by day. The trainer's doing a great job kind of monitoring me, seeing how I'm doing and how I'm reacting to everything.
If Love can't go, Malik Willis will get his second start. His former team, the Tennessee Titans, hosts the Packers Sunday at noon. The NL Central champion Milwaukee Brewers lost Thursday 5-1 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers three games back of the National League's best record. Same two teams tonight in Milwaukee. Wisconsin basketball, both men's and women's, announced their conference schedules on Thursday. You can see them at uwbadgers.com. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-50s. A mix of sun and clouds, a shower or storm possible tomorrow afternoon and evening, high in the low 80s. Partly sunny, much cooler, only upper 60s Sunday. A few showers are possible right in through Monday. Right now it's 80.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Good afternoon, everybody. Your host, James J. here. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, my partner in sports, Seth Habhager.
Why, good afternoon, all.
We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody.
Yeah.
We are your tailgate for high school football as at 6:50 on 105.5 WIRI. We got our pregame kicking off from Lincoln High School hosting Wausau West. Randy, Mike, Seth going to cover that one for you. You know it's going to sound good.
Yeah, that's Hall of Fame game today. They're inducting some new Hall of Famers for Lincoln, yeah.
Very excited about that, and thank you for teeing us up, Seth, because we may be joined by a Hall of Famer around here.
That's right.
You know, certainly one of our Hall of Famers here at WFHR may be joined by them. We'll also be joined by Michael Comer, maybe a future Hall of Famer for WFHR.
You never know.
We'll have him joining us at some point, too, today. Who knows where Michael is? but it doesn't matter. He's at a high school game, I'll tell you. Or a high school game, is he actually fair? Yeah, I was going to say it might not be football, but that covers
it. Yeah, but he goes to just about everything he can cover, so, yep.
We've got some stats of the shows for you as well. We'll get into all of that. Talk a little bit about the Green Bay. We'll talk some Brewers. But we have to kick things off, Seth, with what happened last night.
We do.
Breaking down Shohei Ohtani's historic 50-50 season. And we want to, of course, talk to all of you. 715-424-2600. Call up and join us with any of your sports takes and feelings and thoughts and ramblings. You're able to do that thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin. And Rabbits. Seth, before we go to the calls, your first feelings on what happened last night with Ohtani.
Okay, I'm still kind of processing the whole thing. I watched all the highlights and everything. He is something that we have never seen anything like this before. Okay, he comes to the United States. He comes, you know, pitcher, hitter. Okay, wow, we haven't seen that since Babe Ruth, you know, somewhat of this level. And he excels at both. He gets his arm hurt, can't pitch anymore. He's going to be a DH. Dodger signs a gigantic contract, okay? What more can he do? What can't he do?
Yeah.
We are witnessing something that's absolutely amazing. Last night, he went 6-for-6, okay?
Yeah.
He stole two bases. He hit three home runs. It's one of the great single days ever, okay? Oh, by the way, he stole 50 bases for the season. Oh, by the way, he hit 50 home runs. 50-50 club. No one has ever done that before.
Right,
he's the first player to ever do that. By the way, he's probably going to win the MVP award for the National League as a DH. No DH has ever won the MVP award. Okay? Oh, and by the way, they're heading to the playoffs, and we get to see him for the first time. See him pitch. Maybe.
Yeah, that's on the table, they say.
Dave
that's
Roberts even said
on the
that.
Table. Yeah. 10 RBIs for a leadoff hitter. Oh. Man, that's incredible. You're on the air. Good, and you're in the game. Good afternoon. How's it going, man?
Well, Seth kicked me out of the chair, so now I have to call on the phone.
good to have you with us, Kev. How's your afternoon going?
Well, the afternoon's gone really good. I mean, it's Friday. It's Friday Night Football.
Nice.
I mean, what more can you ask for on a September night when it's still 70-some degrees out and hopefully nobody gets sick playing football tonight, you know, puking on the football or anything like that.
Right.
We don't need that.
I'll say, though, if it happens, we know what to do. Just run with it. No, don't try to
don't throw, try to throw it.
Do not try to throw that ball. That's a great one. What are you looking forward to this week and what's on your mind today?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's a lot going on this weekend. I mean, you know, the Packers are playing possum with if they're gonna, you know, have Jordan play or not on Sunday, and you know, and hopefully the Brewers can gain a couple games and the Dodgers or the Phillies maybe get that first round draft bye, you know. No, I mean, it's going to be the next couple of weeks, especially in baseball, is going to be really interesting because, you know, if you look at everybody else in the league, the Brewers, you know, picked only to win 76 games, be in the bottom of the NL Central, and, you know, and now they were the first team to win their division. They're going to probably be close to 91 wins. I mean, how much more can you, you know, say what the season has been like with the Brewers? And, you know, they get the three more games here with the Diamondbacks, and then you got three with Pittsburgh and three with the Mets. And, I mean, I really can see them getting at least the 91, 92 wins maybe with these last three remaining games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, that'll be an interesting series with the Mets.
Oh, yeah.
Possible matchup in the playoffs, too. So it might be a little preview there. So that'd be interesting. Yeah.
Well, even this weekend, you're getting that preview of them. Yep. You know, they might, if they have to play in that wild card, they might have to play the Diamondbacks
again,
you know, the following week. So,
yeah, my dad was asking me about this the other day. He's like, "Hey, should I watch the football or watch the Diamondbacks and Brewers and everything?" And he's like, "I'm like, I think it's going to be more competitive with the Brewers and Diamondbacks."
Yeah,
it was that series. Arizona keeps, I think, surprising people, even though they were in the World Series last year.
Yeah,
I don't know, because I think people still are not used to
the start of their season wasn't very good, but yeah, they have really turned it on in the second half. So,
yeah, and it's just, it's when you get hot, and then this is the time of year you want to get hot. These last 2 weeks of September, I mean, and this will carry over into the playoffs. So, I mean, the Braves are only two games out. I mean, I don't think you'll see the Cubs get there. Or the Cardinals. So it's pretty much there's a four-team race right now to be in the wild card with the Padres, Mets, Diamondbacks, and the Braves. I mean,
yep.
Thought the Braves would be in the situation?
Exactly, man. Yeah. I find myself such a weird Braves person. Like, the majority of my life, Braves, I don't care about them, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then they go and they lose, like, 20 World Series, you know, never win one and everything. They've got that amazing pitching staff. They have these, handful of players I kind of like. I'm like, it could be kind of cool to see Atlanta win a World Series. Mm-hmm. And they do. They win a World Series. And then I go back to, like, I don't want to, Atlanta.
That's enough of that, right?
They're too good and all this. And now this season, or the last two seasons, has been a very similar thing where I'm not rooting for Atlanta. And then, of course, they lose all their players, and they're like the underdog and everything. And it's kind of like, well, I always root for underdogs. And now it's weird not to root for them. And
it's more, I think it's more than that. Last year, the Braves had the best offensive season a team has ever had in Major League history.
Yeah, yeah.
And this year, I think they all had career years. I mean, even before Ronald Acuna went down, he was not having a great season. All these guys that they have did not have great seasons, that had great seasons last year, and they have zero depth. Yeah. So I don't see, even if they get into the playoffs, I don't know how they're going to, how far they're going to get.
I got a question for both of you here. We'll do a little quick survey. Out of the divisions and the games that are still up for grabs, positions that are still up for grabs in the playoffs, what is the most exciting race to you, division-wise? Because I think that there's a lot of we certainly are paying attention to the Central, even with the Brewers locking it up and everything, because we want to see if there's going to be a wild card out of there. The East looks interesting, but I got to say, the American League East is very interesting to me with those big names and those big hitters and everything. And one of them, somebody's not going. Somebody's going to be staying home.
Yep.
The American League Central is fascinating to me with all the moves the Royals made. the Twins not letting up. Detroit all of a sudden deciding, hey, we're going to be spoilers. If we're not getting to the dance, we're definitely going to be spoilers.
And the Twins are slowly letting it get out of their grasp right now. It's pretty sad to watch, but
And watch out, everybody. White Sox 4-6 in their last 10. 4-6. No, I'm kidding.
As long as they don't, I just hope they could avoid the 120. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I hope they avoid the 120.
I can't.
I'm sitting here looking at the standings right now, especially in the American League. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Royals and the Orioles are the top two seeds right now in the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the Twins, Tigers, and Mariners. Yeah. And the Twins and Tigers are actually got the same record, but
they
have the Twins as the third seed of the wild card, but must be because of a tiebreaker, maybe, or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But there's a possibility you could see two teams out of the Central in the American League in the playoffs. You know, so you're gonna have, you could have three teams.
Yes,
it's
pretty wild.
There's three teams possibly in the West and the National League.
Yeah, the National League West. That's right.
Yeah, The AL West. The Astros just keep doing what they do. They become the Braves for me.
Boring.
In many ways. Yeah, I don't want them to win. I don't want them out of the first round.
I don't want them back to the ALCS. What? How many? Seven in a row they've been in.
I'm tired of Houston.
Tired of them.
Done with it. Kev, we appreciate the time. Before we let you go, anything else on your mind for the weekend that you are excited about, as far as football or any of that? I know that we have the Brewers. Badgers are off this weekend, so we get a break there. Sure. When it comes to the next quarterback, next man up and everything, I don't know, you're almost playing with house money here in some ways, the rest of the Badger season. You what is expected of you coming into the season and what is expected now is two very different worlds. nationally. I'm not talking about locally. I'm not talking about local fan bases or even, your GM McIntosh. I'm saying, you know, as far as the national perspective of Wisconsin, oh, they lost their starting quarterback. We're not expecting as much. So in some ways, you're playing with house money, and you can upset some people. You can show some people some things and learn and get some of these younger players some playing time, especially this young quarterback with these young receivers, because, God, they got some good receivers in Wisconsin.
Well, I mean, Madison. I agree with you, but it's just...
I'm going to say every town but Madison before I get to Madison.
This has just been a hard last few weeks. I mean, even though they got those two wins against North Dakota and Western Michigan, I know Fickell, you got to give him a couple years, but I'm just still not a real big fan of these two coordinators because... I must still go back to that game last Saturday. Is you got fourth and inches and you're going from shotgun?
Yeah. It drives me insane.
Why don't you understand her and go and doing the tush push? You need inches.
Right. I'll never understand the idea of having my running back 5 to 10 yards back when I need 1 yard. Like, why am I doing that to him? I don't miss me with all of the stats or any of these things or with the momentum that he has running with the ball or whatever. No, I 9 times out
of 10.
Too
much can happen.
Doesn't seem like
it works. Fumble the ball. Yeah. He could drop it. There's all kinds of things that can happen.
I'm with you on this. And I do think that while you're right, Fickell's going to have another year no matter what and everything. It's starting to... The seat is getting a little warm now. Even with the quarter, with the everything understanding of what I just said there, it is going to get a little warmer for him. Mm-hmm. And sometimes pressure makes diamonds. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. They've got a nice recruiting class in 2025 already, and they are not done. So we'll see where they go with that. And of course, we'll be covering it right here when the Badgers are back in action next week. Kev, always appreciate the time, man. You have a great weekend.
All right, you guys have a great weekend, too. We'll talk later.
All right.
Thanks for joining us earlier today on Midday. That was awesome.
That was great.
That was nice. We got back-to-back Kev there.
We did.
Midday, had him right there. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation, everybody. We're going to continue talking a little Otani. Shohei Otani actually is in our stat of the show here, Seth.
Oh, very good. Very good.
My stat of the show for today, 1901.
1901. Okay. I love it when we go back that far.
Yes. So Otani yesterday not only became the first ever 50-50 player, which is still exciting to me. I don't care.
Absolutely.
I understand that it's arbitrary. We're picking these numbers because they're round and they sound better than 49-49.
We have 10 fingers. That's why we do a 10 system, right?
Yeah. I marvel at the people who like get upset about this that are all old school baseball fans who all baseball is built on is stats.
Yeah.
Made up stats.
Yeah.
Made up numbers that don't really mean anything. Why is the 300 batting average that big of a deal over a 250?
Yeah.
Why is this? Why is that? Why is it 500 home run club? Why is it 3,000
hit club?
Yeah. We've been making up numbers. What are you talking about, man? The person that gets on there, like, and it's a lot of people I respect, too, like Michael Wilbon or Dan Patrick. I love those guys, but I will not understand the old man that sits there and is like, it's arbitrary. It doesn't really mean that much. What are you talking about? That's the history of baseball. That's all it is.
Yes.
Who came down from the baseball mountains and said 3,000 hits means something? Oh, okay. All right. We know now.
Let's write that down.
We did that. That's all this is. It's all. That's made all it up. Is. You can't get out of here with that.
I'm telling you, man. I was thinking about this on the way over. I mean, Shohei keeps doing stuff we haven't seen before, or it's been like 100 years since we've seen something similar to that. But we have to start. Okay, he'd retire today, and he'd waltz into the Hall of Fame.
good.
And he's not. He's only been there for, what, 5, 6, how many years has been? I can't remember how many years he's been in the league. But we have to start talking, and I know he still has a long career ahead of him, but we got to start talking greatest of all time.
Oh, yeah.
We have to start. Yeah. He's got to start being included in the conversation.
I don't think he's ever going to hit Mays, Aaron level. necessarily, in part because of the history, quite frankly, and everything. The advancement of so many things from then to now and everything. But you're absolutely right, brother. He is in the conversation. You have to bring him up, especially even given now. The fact I hadn't even thought about this man until you just said it. We've got years of him yet.
Yes. Like, he's hopefully.
Yeah, here's hoping. Here's
barring
hoping.
Injury.
Yeah. So 1901, I take us back to 1901. Yes, sir. Where are we going back?
There wasn't even radio back then.
Wasn't even radio back then. Where happened? I love the old school. We're here, yes. Doctor. I love the idea of you to go back in time and everybody talked like that.
Talks like this. Yes.
Yeah, you same man. Again, man. He not only was the first ever 50-50 player, but he's also the first player since 1901 to have at least 5 hits, multiple home runs, and multiple stolen bases in a single game. Nobody's done that since 1901.
120 years ago.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And it might have not happened if you had a different manager on Florida's side, on Miami's side.
Ah, yes.
Coach Schumacher, our manager Schumacher, who is, I think, one of the better managers in baseball and is going to be the biggest free agent in baseball next year, I think.
For managers, 100%.
I think even more than players, man.
Really?
Because this guy is good. He's a former manager of the year. Yeah. He's hungry. He's young. Players like him. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, you can have a great team that everybody's talking about is going to win the NL Central or AL Central or something like that. All this talent upon talent, and you bring in a quote-unquote winning World Series manager, and everything goes wrong, Seth. Everything.
The bitterness right there.
So I think a manager is way more important than we realize.
I would normally agree with you, except Corbin Burnes is going to be a free agent next year. So, sorry.
No, you're
He's going to be the top of the list.
Absolutely right. 100% right. I stand corrected. But I do think that what happened with him yesterday was cool, and we don't see this a lot, especially from younger, or from managers in general in baseball.
Yes.
Let alone, usually when this happens, it's an older school manager or something. Mm-hmm. So I think this is kind of cool. I'm going to play Coach Schumacher here, thanks to Bally Sports, talking about, they asked him if he thought about not pitching to Ohtani.
That last at bat.
Yeah.
I think that's a bad move, baseball-wise, karma-wise, baseball god-wise. You go after him and see if you can get him out. And I think out of respect for the game, we're going to go after him. He hit the...
And that was all I really wanted to play. He goes out for basically saying the same stuff over and over. But I love that he said that. I love that he came out, did that. We get that moment because of it. Mm-hmm. Is it at the cost of Marlins and Marlins fans? Yes. And I'm sure that didn't feel that great. At the same time, I heard from a couple of Marlins fans today. And all they could talk about was how excited they were.
Oh, I mean, seriously.
And how amazing last night
yeah,
was.
Yeah, right.
There was a couple people that I saw that got their tickets for like, one person got like a $40 ticket, one person got a $26 ticket. Imagine that. 26 bucks, and you got to see that.
Like, Shohei Ohtani have a career night. Man.
It's incredible.
It is. It's so astonishing. Hey, I got to give, and I do give Skip Schumacher a lot of credit there. He's always been considered kind of old school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's one of those guys. Yeah. He's kind of those hard-nosed kind of. When he was a player, he was like that. But, you know, I remember hearing managers talk about this when Joe DiMaggio was going through his 56-game hitting streak in 1941. Mm. People, they were asking the same question. Well, why don't you walk him?
Mm.
And they would they would say basically that's disrespecting the game.
Yeah.
This is you need to show you can get this guy out, not just walk him. And there's a lot to that, I think.
I think so, too. That's why I have never understood the idea of beaning somebody that just hit a home run off of you.
So stupid.
Your point right there is my exact point for that. If you show me up, I want to show you up.
Yeah.
How do I show you up? By beaning you. I can even do that. You can take anybody out of stands that can do that.
Right.
I want to strike you out. That, to me, is the way to trump that person, to really show that person, hey, I got you there, instead of, oh, I'm going to hit you in the butt with a ball. Like, I got I really showed you. Like, no, he's on base now. He's got a chance.
The unwritten rules of baseball are stupid.
Another thing that I thought was kind of interesting to come out of the Ohtani conversation with this is one of the things that I feel like I'm one of the few people that has paid attention to in history was stolen bases. And not just the amount of stolen bases, but the percentage. How good are you at stealing bases? That's something that I've always marveled at and I thought was really cool, going back to, you know, looking on the back of a baseball card and trying to figure that out myself, you know, because they didn't always have that stat on there.
Right.
They would have, you know, stolen base attempts and stolen bases, but they wouldn't have the percentage, so I would do it myself and everything. I've always thought this was one of the cooler, untalked about stats in baseball. So we continue our stat of the show, diving into that, Seth, there's some pretty cool stuff here, I think, actually.
I think if one of your stats is who has the highest stealing percentage of all time, I think I know the answer to that.
Do you want to take it?
Is it Davey Lopes?
Ooh, oh, no, but good reference.
Oh, it's not Davey Lopes? Really?
I could have sworn. This list. Oh. Good reference, though.
He was one of the best base stealers in terms of percentage. He didn't steal the most bases, but his percentage, if I remember, was very high most of his career.
Some of these are going to be very surprising. You're going to hear some familiar names that you know, and then some you don't. Like the guy who holds the record for the highest stolen base percentage in MLB history, 864. Pretty darn good.
Oh, wow.
Carlos Beltran.
Really? Wow.
Didn't have that one.
Wow. I knew he stole bases, but I didn't realize he was that good at it. Wow.
Yeah. Second highest is Tim Rock Raines with 847, a little more recognizable.
Love
that.
Love that he's on the top five.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
One of the most underrated players of the 80s.
Absolutely. Trey Turner set a record for the most stolen bases in a season without being thrown out in 2023, 30 for 30.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I don't remember that. I don't remember anybody even talking about that one.
No, I don't remember that either.
I'm not going to use this opportunity to ramble about one of my favorite players, Ricky Henderson. But if you know baseball, you know that Ricky has the record for most stolen bases, not only in a career, but in a season.
Yep.
But did you know that Hugh Nicol holds the all-time record for stolen bases in a season with 138 in 1887?
Oh, whoa.
So
that must have been an old American Association one. I don't think the stats count.
Ricky
on
holds
that one.
The record for most stolen bases in a season with 130. He holds the record for most in the AL or NL or something like that. But 1887, 138.
Does that count? No.
Yeah, you got to wonder, man. Yeah. Maury Willis led the Dodgers in stolen bases in 1962 with 104 while also winning the MVP.
Yep. That was the record before Ricky broke it. Yep.
George Gore stole 7 bases in a game in 1881.
Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty cool.
Don't tell Shohei. He's going to do that, by the way. I honestly think he started the season saying, I'm going to do 50-50 this year.
Well,
he seems like one of those guys, like, this is my goal. And then he makes it.
I don't think that's very far-fetched, man.
No.
This is a guy who really is the definition of a team player and wants to help his team and can help his team in ways a lot of players can't. Now, if I can't pitch, if I can't play defense, what more can I do for my team? I don't believe that he's ever had more than 20 stolen bases in a season or something like that.
He said in the 20s before, I think.
So the fact that he has almost tripled that, it tells me that this is a strategic plan by him that, I can steal bases. I can help my team that way.
I know we're kind of flogging the dead horse here with him, but I got that first stolen base he had in the game last night. He stole third base. The ball beat him, but his slide was so good that the tag was never applied until his toe was on the bag. This is how smart he is. Because there's the back corner is the place that you always want to slide to on a bait. Because where the fielder is fielding the ball, he's got to reach behind him to try to tag you.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, he slid right to the exact spot. The ball beats him, but the tag is not applied, and he's safe.
That's incredible.
What can he do?
They're gonna go back and talk about that one too. That particular one there.
Mm-hmm.
Now on the other side of this, who were some of the worst base stealers in history? and a minimum number is set for this and everything.
Okay.
So as we get ready to go to break, we'll tell you that Pete Rose got caught 43% of the time, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I didn't. He did try to steal bases, but
Ruth was caught 49% of the time. Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth.
Why was he trying to steal? That's what I want to know.
Lou Gehrig was caught 50% of the time that he was stealing bases.
Man, when they, to be fair, in like the 20s and 30s, they didn't steal many bases. Exactly, they didn't, there wasn't much running going on.
And this is a minimum of 200 attempts.
Oh, okay. So that's pretty low. Yeah,
it's pretty low and kind of cool to think of Lou Gehrig stealing, trying to steal even 20 stolen bases or anything. I was very surprised by the Pete Rose thing. Charlie Hustle, we consider him one of his assets of his game was being able to get on
to
base
run, yep.
and running on the bases. But of all these guys, George Burns had the worst, and not the comedian.
No.
Gracie.
No.
Good night, Gracie. At 388 with a 38% clip.
Oh, that's terrible.
Clip, man. Yeah. So not much better on
he was a good hitter, though. That and I know who that George Burns was, and he was a decent hitter, but yeah, he couldn't run.
We are still looking forward to talking some high school football with our friend Michael Comer as we get ready for at 6:50 today on 105.5 WIRI with Lincoln High School hosting Wausau West. That game going to be covered by Randy, Michael, and Seth for you just in a little bit, less than a half an hour away from that one. Or no, we're a little over an hour and a half.
Yeah, well, a little bit longer than that, yeah.
But we'll gear you up for it. We'll get you ready for it. And we're able to do that thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Rapids. Seth and I will be back with more Playmakers.
Temperatures are falling. The dew is cold and crisp and your breath is hanging in the air. It's time to dress in our favorite Wisconsin attire. It's hoodie season. This season, show your personality through your clothes by customizing your long sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, sports workout gear, and more. Don't let today's style wear you. Call Wham Incorporated today. 715-423-9465. Be bold, be you, and be confident. Wham Incorporated. 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. 715-423-9465.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-50s. A mix of sun and clouds, a shower or storm possible tomorrow afternoon and evening, high in the low 80s. Partly sunny, much cooler, only upper 60s Sunday. A few showers are possible right in through Monday. Right now it's 80.
Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James hanging out with you. Getting ready for some high school football in a little bit.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it feels so good to say that. I'm seeing some trees changing colors.
Yep.
Football is upon us.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get too into football, we do got some more baseball to talk, Seth.
Okay.
Because I do think you said something in our break there that I think is still noteworthy, and I don't want to have normalized what is happening right now with Ohtani and all of that. We have been fortunate. If you are over the age of 15, or at least 15, I should say, you have experienced some of the greatest people to ever do their particular sport, between Tom Brady, even going back to what LeBron James has done.
Yep.
Going to Simone Biles, Serena Williams, Tiger Woods. If you want to go back a little bit farther, Michael Jordan and everything. Mm-hmm. We've seen greats. We've seen goats. Legends at what they do. Not just the greatest of their generation, but you can make the argument maybe the greatest to ever do what they are doing at that particular time.
Right.
And all of that, to me, just my opinion, pales in comparison to what Ohtani is doing. Because all of those guys, there are little things here or there. Well, Brady's won more Super Bowls than anybody. Simone Biles has won more gold than anybody. Michael Phelps is a better example.
Right,
Michael Phelps, what he's done and everything. And all that being said, nobody's done it in a sport that's been around as long as it has.
Mm-hmm.
In a sport that is so world played. You know, we got better with basketball and everything, but you're still not. The world is still trying to catch up to the USA in many ways. Mm-hmm. Where there's a big difference of, hey, Team France has got a couple of NBA players. We got all NBA players. Yeah, right. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, football is not even close to what it is.
Yep.
So what Tom Brady did is impressive. Don't get me wrong, but he didn't do that against the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I mean, what Otani is doing, what some of these athletes are doing, yep, are against the whole rest of the world.
Right.
It is something to do something in a sport that is over, 150 years old?
Yeah. It can be traced back to like 150, 170 years. Yeah.
That nobody's ever done before.
Yes.
And not just once, but done it. We've lost track of how many times he's done something that nobody's ever done before.
Exactly.
It's just incredible.
Yep.
And it's also, I think, kind of cool, not just kind of cool and fun and everything, but it's one of those things where I don't know how you can be, you don't have to be a fan of him. You don't have to necessarily like this, but how you cannot not respect it. That part, it would, like, if you don't, I want to hear from you, and I want to hear why. And I don't want to start a fight here. I'm not trying to do, sports radio, debate talk. I'm genuinely curious, what is it about this that you don't find amazing?
Right.
I do want to also talk about something else, unless you had something there.
So. I was just going to say, and the fact that he makes it look so easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
People know, hitting a baseball, hitting a round ball with a round bat is probably the hardest thing to do in sports. And the way he makes it, just watching him last night, it's like, I'll just hit a home run now. You know, that's what it's like watching him play. And the other thing that I find so refreshing, there's joy.
Yeah.
Every time you see him going around the bases last night, he was smiling. Everyone was smiling. Man, he must be like one of the great clubhouse people of all time, even though he doesn't speak very good English, right?
Yeah.
Just his presence seems to be such a positive thing to his teammates. Wow, it's remarkable.
Ricky Henderson was 5'10". Vince Coleman was, I want to say, 5'11".
Yeah, they were not tall men. No.
Something like that. I was 6 foot. Tim Raines was 5'10", 5'11". Yep. Shohei is like 6'20". Like, he's a tree.
I think, yeah.
He's a tree out there pretending to be a human being. And still flight of foot and all that. That also stands
bases.
Out to me.
Not the fastest man, but he's just really good at stealing bases.
I'm curious to know from the audience what playoff races they're most interested in as we get closer to the last game of the regular season for baseball. There's a lot of really cool ones going on. I really do think the Orioles-Yankees thing is quite interesting. I just big names and big teams, it does catch my eye.
I like that. I like that, especially with the way the Orioles established themselves last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Yankees kind of coming back after having a bat down year last year. It's kind of a fun narrative going on between those two teams.
Outside of, like, because obviously my team's nowhere near it. Outside right. of rooting for the Brewers all out and mm-hmm. everything, I really do like the Orioles a lot. And
I
love seeing the Orioles back in the run of things. So I'm kind of sneaky looking at them, too. But I bring up a couple of these teams because I seen an interesting article the other day from Anthony Castavinci. With the benefit of hindsight, the teams that won the trade deadline.
Oh, okay.
Because we lose our minds about, and I included, lose our minds over the trade deadline of how hanging on to guys or not to hang on to guys and all of this, and what teams really get better from the trade deadline, not on as far as making the playoffs, I mean the teams that are selling. The teams that
strengthen their club, right, yeah,
yes.
For future hopeful success.
This article talks about, like, the teams that made trades and who really won out. The Royals, as according to him, being the biggest winners of all of them
makes sense.
From the trade deadline and everything. But I do think that what's interesting is looking at, do teams actually get better when they sell their talent? And the stats are showing us no.
That's
no, they are not. They are not getting better. Mm. That oftentimes prospects are not working out. And so I'm more and more inclined, like, why? Why do you sell off all your talent?
Mm.
Why do it? If you got a situation where a guy's on a one-year deal, sure, get what you can for him.
Right.
But outside of that, no. I say, hey, you go ahead and go to somebody else. You're not scavenging my team and everything.
Right.
Let's get to our good friend Michael Comer, who is out there somewhere in the greater central Wisconsin area covering high school sports. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing good over here, man. Where you at today?
I'm just at Southwood County, Wood Trust Bank Field, Southwood County Stadium, waiting for the Wausau West Warriors and Wisconsin Rapids Red Raiders.
Michael, have you had a chance to talk to anybody so far at the field, got a feel for the game, or any headlines from the game so far?
Not yet. Rapids is still back at the school getting everything ready as far as that goes. West's kind of doing their little walkthrough with some of their skill positions are warming up out there. It's just really, we still got 82 minutes before kickoff, so it's not going too crazy right now. It's pretty thin, but it'll be picking up, especially when Randy Paul shows up. That's when the party starts.
Yeah, absolutely. We all know that. They don't call him Randy Party Paul for nothing. They don't, you know.
You got that right. Kesha got that from him. Don't stop till he walks in.
Go ahead and look at the writing credits for that one. It says Kesha and Randy Paul. It does. You go ahead and look at them. I think we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday, Michael, without kind of saying it. We talked around, maybe not around it, but just, if you read between the lines. We're not sure how many games Lincoln can win this year. Going into this one, this is a winnable game, and it's a Hall of Fame game for Lincoln and everything. So with all of that, I'm expecting a good performance today from our Raiders. Are you looking at it the same way?
Yes, I am. I mean, when you play River Falls, who's, granted 2-2, but they're a very good 2-2, if you want to put it that way, then Rice Lake, who still hasn't lost, and they've crushed everybody they've played. Then you go into Everest, who's had a very good season, and then Point, who's very good as well. Rapids, they're a 0-4 team, but I don't know how much of an 0-4 is realistic. Granted, someone's got to win, someone's got to lose, but I think they're not a bad 0-4 team.
The other thing for these teams, whether it is the Raiders or it's Port Edwards, even Nakusa, with some of the winning they've been doing, they got so many young players on these teams. This is just great reps for them, great experience for them. If you're looking at this big picture wise, which I think is what you do as you start to get to the first month of the season and everything, and especially in high school where we don't have that many games, you got to kind of look at it big picture wise, and these kids are getting some experience.
Right. Assumption's really the big one to look at for being young. They're having another tough night tonight against more than likely, I'm not going to rule it out, but playing number 3 team in Division 6, Abbotsford. Abbotsford actually beat Iola Scandinavia 13-7 in the week 2 weeks ago, and Iola just pounded Assumption 41-0 last week. So, you got to be honest with yourselves at the same time. I'm not selling them short, but I was talking to somebody walking up here, and they might only really have 14, 15 kids suited up tonight.
Yeah, that's, wow.
That's tough, and that's it's discouraging. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, these are young kids. It's like the old saying: you got to spend money to make money. You got to take some lumps to give some lumps, and that's where Assumption's at right now. Now, that's barring program changes that might be coming down the road, because nothing official. There's nothing official or anything like that. I'm not giving you the old Schefter breaking news or anything like that. But it is entirely possible within the next handful of years, Assumption could go to the 8-man ranks, and that's not something I know the AD or the head coach are really big with, because they like to stay 11 player football. But you got to be realistic, and you got to look at the numbers, and you got to look at the youth, and you got to be honest with yourselves about it, that maybe they are better suited at an 8 player level. But hey, if they want to play 11, go for it. I don't have a problem with it. But you look at Nakusa, they're a little more senior laden. I bet the 4-year starters now, after they got thrown into the mix as freshmen when they probably shouldn't have been. But then you factor in Port Edwards, a bunch of seniors there. They're banged up a little bit. I don't know how healthy they are, but they should have a good one up in New Auburn. That's I'm thinking that's going to be a lot of points. It's going to be a lot, like watching a good old Big 12 football game.
Yeah, I was just going to – man, you took it right out of my mouth. That's where I was going to go with that one. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing how high that score gets. I'm glad you brought up the thing about Assumption, because I don't think – no, but you're right. Nobody's reporting about anything. But I don't think you – if we talk to the fans in the stands at the game today, I think some of them would say something very similar to what you're talking about there. This is as crazy as we get about sports, as crazy as we get about football especially, and as much as we love it and everything, we love when our teams win and all of that, we can never lose sight, especially since we are the adults in the room, we can never lose sight that these kids, their health matters. Their yeah. livelihood matters. Mm-hmm. And enjoying the game matters. Mm-hmm. And it's not as if things are going to turn around next year. Or the year after that, or the year after that necessarily, when it comes to some of these teams, whether it's Assumption or some other teams that are kind of in that rough area of, hey, there's only so many kids in this area, and only so many that go to this particular school. How many of them even want to play football, let alone are good at football? It's just being realistic while also trying to use some heart with this and try mm-hmm. to, like, hey, they're kids. Let's be, you know, realistic about this while also having a little heart to it and everything. I think it's the best of both worlds, if that's what happens. It's better than losing your team completely,
right?
Or having your team swallowed up by another school or something like that. I would think. And you hit something on the head that is also important about this. This is one of the ways schools make money. And whether you like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, business is a part of almost everything in life, including the education system. It helps schools. This is why NIU will get paid a couple million to go to Lafayette, but take on Ann Arbor or whatever. Not Ann Arbor. Go on to Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, right.
And play them and everything. South Bend, thank you. I was going
to
get there. Like, at least seven more guesses I would have gotten.
Gary, Indiana.
One, strike two, strike four.
I'd have gotten there eventually. Yeah. We got about 20 more minutes of show. I'd have gotten this is the same thing. I think that it's a smart, realistic idea and a good thing to bring up, man. I am excited about the Nakusa game tonight, too, because I want to see if they can bounce back from last week.
I don't think it's a matter of if. I think it's a matter of when. I think I'm not going to give you the shoe-in of the week here, you know. But,
I like that as a segment, though. Yeah. I like that.
I do believe Nakusa's going to take that sting out of the Hornets in Wautoma, and then they've just got to kind of get back into what they're doing, because they're going to have a tough one next week against Waupun, who's not a bad squad by any means. They're just about the same record as Nakusa. I'd have to do a little more homework on them this week before I can really comment on them, but I know enough about Wautoma. Basically, they've played the same every one of the same teams that Nakusa has. They've been beat by Poinet. They've been beat by Westfield. They've been beat by Mauston. They've been beat by Berlin. They don't score a lot of points. They give up a bunch, but last week against Mauston, they lost, I think, by 10, maybe 11. Mm. I forget which. But, their scores are getting closer.
Yeah.
They're playing better ball, and that's what you got to be this time of year. I mean, the writing on the wall, 0-5, you've got to really kind of run the table to win, to make a playoff bid, because some teams are going to be eliminated here in the next week or two.
Mm-hmm.
So Wautoma's really got to kind of get it figured out, whereas Nakusa, it's like, all right, clean up what we screwed up last week, or what Berlin beat us at, and not even a screw-up, you just got to get better. And I think Nakusa bounces back. I think Rapids has a better showing, more consistent showing tonight. Assumption that's they've got such a tough job ahead of them with mm-hmm. Abbotsford and with low numbers that I think it's going to be really tough for them. But you never know. That's why you play the game. And then right. Port Edwards, I think they're going to be in a shootout, but that's also if they're healthy.
Yeah. Michael, we want to save that voice because we're going to be listening to you in a little while here, covering with Randy Lincoln taking on Wausau West on 105.5 WIRI. 6:50, our pregame will kick off. Keep up the great work, man. Greatly appreciate you. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right, talk to you guys later. Have a great weekend.
You too, man. Have a great weekend. Michael will be joining us next week, I believe Wednesday next week. Okay. We'll talk and preview the next week's high school football games.
Which, by the way, at this point, we are planning on doing the Nakusa game against Waupun next week. So stay tuned for that. It should be a good one, yeah.
Before we go to our final break here, I did want to touch on one other thing. Hopefully, we'll still hear from him. But if we don't, WFHR Studios today was honored because we had royalty around here. We had Terry Steak here today.
Yes, that's right.
Terry in town for the Lincoln game, the Hall of Fame game, mm-hmm. and everything. I think that we... we're talking a lot about history with baseball. We're talking a lot about the greats and a lot of these things. And I feel very confident saying this. As good as all of us are at our jobs, and I think all of us are, and I'm talking about not just you and I, Seth, Michael, Randy, even going back to Dave Mueller and some of the other voices we've had around here, we're not here without Terry Steak. And he set the bar of what to do sports on this radio station means. He is there is one name on that at the top of that list, and it is Terry's name. All of us are kind of looking to do good work and similar work to what he did and the bar that he set. I hope you're enjoying yourself out there, Terry. It's great to have you back in town. We hope to have you on the show sometime soon.
Yeah, I got to chat with him a little bit when he was here visiting, and 42 years. He was at WFHR 42 years. Man, he was telling us about, you know, he would in the fall and the winter, he would be here in the morning show, and then he'd do his sales and stuff, and then he'd take a couple hours off, and then just about every night, he'd be out doing a game somewhere.
Yeah. The man was like the James Brown around here, just never stopping.
Hardest
always
working,
working. Hardest working, man. We appreciate you, Terry, and appreciate the legacy you set up and the bar that you set. We will try to match it and try to meet it all the time. We'll take our final timeout, but it's all right. We only got about 10 minutes left to show. Well, we can make it to the end without timeout.
Yeah, I think we can.
We're going to take care of our sponsors and come back and have some more fun. It's Seth and James taking you through Quality Plus Printing's Playmakers.
Some big ideas being shared at the Cap Times Idea Fest in Madison. Civic Media is proud to be a part of it and will broadcast the one-on-one discussion with Liz Cheney. Hear why the former Republican Party leader does not support Donald Trump and more on Friday, September 20th at 7:30 p.m. Coverage featuring Liz Cheney live from Idea Fest, Friday night, September 20th at 7:30 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Cheese Days in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris' stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-50s. A mix of sun and clouds, a shower or storm possible tomorrow afternoon and evening, high in the low 80s. Partly sunny, much cooler, only upper 60s Sunday. A few showers are possible right in through Monday. Right now it's 80.
Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James here with you. Going to take it to the top of the hour. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. It's been a really fun show, really fun week. We'll be back next week with Playmakers Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We're looking forward to it.
Get the whole week.
Yeah, going to be here hanging out with you. And we get to do that thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. We say a big thank you to the gang over there. I do want to get to a couple of other things before we wrap up. But the show is yours, everybody. Call up 715-424-2600. Sometimes people say, wow, you guys do all that stuff without producing. And everything. Well, we are our own producers.
Yes.
Except for this hour, you are the producers, everybody. You get the direction of the show, whatever you want to talk about, call up and join us. I do want to get this in because I thought this was really, really cool, Seth.
Okay.
The NCAA has given full approval of Gauntlet's helmet football team to use a helmet designed for players who are deaf or hard of hearing for the remainder of the season.
Oh, Gallaudet.
Gallaudet
University,
Gallaudet. I couldn't get it right.
That's
all right.
I
apologize. The helmet developed by Gallaudet University and AT&T debuted last year, with the team getting the chance to play one game with it. The Bisons won the day after opening 0-4, and it was the start of a three-game winning streak.
Oh, wow.
This technology involved allows a coach to call a play on a tablet from the sideline that then shows up visually on a small display screen inside the quarterback's helmet.
Yes, how cool is that?
So we're getting, we're there where it doesn't have, if you have a disability or something, you can still play this game.
Right, right, exactly. Well, and it's interesting, Gallaudet is historically a school for the hard of hearing and for deaf people, which is really fascinating. But it just goes to show that, yeah, even they play sports And this means this could be a game changer for like someone who's an amazing athlete, but has like one, like you said, maybe has is hard of hearing or deaf. This could change everything.
The greatest handles I've ever seen were not on an NBA court. There was a kid that we used to play with over at Tim Hardaway's court in Chicago. Mm. It's a court that you don't spit on. You don't fight on that court. That court is as close to we get to church.
Holy ground.
Yeah, it is holy ground, man. And there was a kid that would be there every weekend. Every weekend he was there. I don't think we ever found out if he was from our neighborhood or not, but he would be there every weekend, taking the L and getting there. Mm-hmm. And he was deaf. And he had the greatest handles I've ever seen. He was incredible. He was in good shape. He was a good size. And he was not in school. He was not in school, period. Like, no school. And it was in part because there was just not the teachers. There were just not the abilities to be able to teach him. But I remember thinking all the time, man, if a scout saw him, there's just no way. I'm underplaying this guy. I'm not over-exaggerating. I'm underplaying this guy and the handles this kid had. Mm-hmm. And I think about him all the time when it comes to sports and how desperate we are for quarterbacks, how desperate we are for starting pitchers, how desperate we are for goalies or so many key positions
specialized
in sports.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And let's open this up even more. Because imagine having a all-pro deaf starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
How amazing that would be.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting so close to that day. I think that is really darn cool. And I don't hear anybody talking about it. I was so disappointed in the Big Mouse Network and even Fox and some of these other ones. I kept waiting for somebody to cover this story, and I saw nobody covering it. I can't believe that.
That's crazy.
This is a cool story, man. That's pretty big. Sports ain't all about winning and money and all that. And sometimes it's just about life. That's where it all started.
Yeah, it's about playing. It's about, you know, having fun. How about that?
Long ago, when the first sport was played, it had nothing to do with money or advertising or owners getting their money and making a profit or anything like that. It was down to, hey, which one of us is faster? You know,
right? That's the competitive part, but it's also about fun. They're games.
Yes,
games are supposed to be fun.
Mm. One last thing, and we can get more into this as we get closer to the NBA season, but they are talking expansion in the NBA, and this is a long time coming.
Okay.
They've been kind of needing to do this for a while, if you ask me, and a lot of people higher up. There is a handful of teams that are up for expansion. I will journalistically mention this right here and right now. If Seattle is not one of those teams,
no.
I don't know how much I can continue watching basketball. And I love the sport maybe more than any other sport I love to watch is basketball. And I'm done. Like they should have never lost the team. There should be a Seattle Sonics.
Crying shame.
It makes no sense.
Yep.
They have
a hockey team for crying out loud.
They got a hockey team without a hockey. Yeah. It does look like that Seattle is probably going to get a team, and Las Vegas will probably be the other team. But there's some interesting names out there, like Mexico City, that they're talking about.
Make it international.
They're looking at that. They're also looking at not just Seattle and Las Vegas, but there was darn it, oh, it doesn't have it on there. Oh. There was another team that was there was okay. another city out there that I thought was quite interesting. But the other part of this that I thought was even more interesting is the idea that there might be some teams moving. And I hate to be the one to say this, man, but Minnesota is one of those teams that is rumored to be possibly moving. With the ownership and with some of the things that are going on behind the scenes there and everything, there is talk that team that could be one of them. Another one is Portland, which I think would just put you in the same situation you were in with Seattle. Portland's got a great fan base.
Yeah, that's their only like major sports team.
Yeah, the only saving grace and I don't think the Timberwolves should move. I don't think so. One second, I don't think that should happen. But the only saving grace to that would be they've got other things in Minnesota that they are very into and everything. But I think that. I know it's two different leagues, but I don't think any city that has lost a team should ever lose a team in any other sport. And I know that makes no realistic sense, and it's one of the most childish things I've ever said on the air, but I stand on it. Minnesota already lost the North Stars.
They
feel like they should lose the Timberwolves.
They lost the Lakers.
They lost the Lakers,
so
man.
If they do move, that'd be like twice the lost teams. No!
Actually, I
would be sad if the Timberwolves, when I remember when they first came into the league, going to games when they were super cheap, you know, and they weren't any good, but those were fun times, man. It was fun going to see those guys, you know, the first year, David West, man. I love David West. Okay, sorry, yeah, a little nostalgic there, but he was a member of that team and everything. So, but yeah. Yeah, it's if they go, I'd be disappointed, but I'm not going to be like,
when
so.
when you look at, okay, if I'm going to lose one of my major league teams, major teams, that's probably the one to go. Because even the Minnesota Wild have built up a huge fan base over
and
the last
Minnesota's couple of years. Hockey, so that's understandable. Right. Basketball, I mean, other than the Lakers in the 50s, there hasn't been a huge, you know, history of basketball in the state of Minnesota. You know, it's not like the Gophers have made the old long run. They've had some success in the past, but they haven't had like a history of a stellar program in the Gophers. So, yeah.
Well, and part of this too is just basketball is just not that big in the Midwest. It just isn't. It took
except maybe Indiana
And Chicago.
And Chicago.
Chicago, Indiana. Yeah. It's got pockets.
Yeah, you're right.
But it took the Bucks winning a championship for people to pay attention to that team.
That's true.
And even then, they didn't care that much. As soon as that team started losing, people just dropped.
Stayed away.
Yeah. Yep. Now, I will say, like, your Badger team, your Marquette, they are pretty, they do lock in on them.
Yep.
They are, in high school teams, certainly they follow. Mm-hmm. But as far as the big games, or the NBA, they don't seem to cover that as much. They don't seem as interested in that. It's another one of those things. I think if you asked any Wisconsinite, hey, you got to lose one of your major franchises, the Bucks would be the first one. They'd instantly say the Bucks. They'd throw that in there quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
And they've won a championship more recently than anybody else.
Yeah.
Way more recent than Green Bay, way more recent than anybody else.
The Brewers have never had one,
And, you know, and one last thing, and that perfectly sets us up, Seth, because as I'm looking at the odds and who could win the World Series and all these things, one of the cool things I saw about who could get to the World Series, one of the best chances for that right now, the way it looks, at least right now, and a lot could change, Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And in part because of that defense and that rotation, which is wild to me considering what they lost in the offseason.
This could be the Nationals losing Bryce Harper. And then winning the World Series the next year.
It's crazy.
One of those weird things that happens.
We'll be back next week with Playmakers for you Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 5 to 6. Be sure to join us, everybody. And join us on 105.5 WIRI at 6:50. Lincoln High School hosting Wausau West. Randy, Mike, and Seth going to cover that one for you. You know it's going to sound good.
Yeah.
Great show today, man. Great week.
Ooh, it was fun. Yep, you too, man.
We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio.